It is 28 minutes after the hour. It's a Tuesday morning, and we're in the process of greeting our resident biochemist, the only scientist we have on staff here at Broken Road Radio, Dr. Don Clark. Don lives in Garden Valley, Texas, where he raises grapes and makes wine and talks on the radio occasionally. Actually, you probably, and you visit a lot of ministries around the country. How's your travels these days? I know you've been down with COVID here, but you're bouncing back. And have you resumed your normal schedule yet?
Well, not yet. I mean, we've been pretty much staying put, although we'll probably do some prison ministry later this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So we'll be going into one of the local prisons here and doing some ministry with the men. And then we have the Texas Wine and Grape Growers Conference coming up here in February, and then in March is the National Religious Broadcasters Convention.
Okay. Nashville, again,
we'll be going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got an itinerary coming up here. You're going to have to start packing pretty quick here. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed. In the meantime, we are here and we're ready to talk about what is the subject today?
Well, we've had such a reaction to COVID. I mean,
what are we talking about again? What?
We like to talk about the biblical story of creation. That's our forte, or our fort here. I guess you don't pronounce that E technically. But so many people have reacted to what we put out on the air about COVID, and it appears to me, I mean, stories are popping all over this morning from different aspects. One has to do with ivermectin, which one study out of Japan says it's effective. Well, we knew that over here, but the government has never gotten the message. There's news that deaths have been overcounted, that adverse react. What is the adverse events report? Information has never been honestly presented to the country. And then there are doctors, scientists coming out saying we were forced to say what we said about it being from an animal, from a bat to other animals and spreading that way. We knew from the beginning, suspected from the beginning, it was a lab leak, and now we're gonna talk about it. I think the grand narrative of the pandemic is breaking apart rapidly in the public view. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, from the CDC actually admitting that this PCR test was gave way too many false positives and is not a real accurate test of whether or not you had COVID in the first place. So, and the way they numbered deaths due to COVID was anybody who tested positive within 28 days, who died 28 days of having a positive COVID test, they attributed to COVID, whether or not they had pre-existing conditions or other comorbidity that one would contribute, oh, that person died of a heart attack, or that person died of, you know, this or that and the other. They just
in spite of the gunshot wounds,
right. Or whatever it happened to be.
Well,
they lumped them as a COVID death, and so one study in the UK showed that, for example, the UK counted something like 137,000 deaths attributed to COVID. But if you look at deaths that were COVID only, that is, they didn't have any comorbidities associated with those deaths, it's only 17,000. So, you know, we're looking at a gross overstatement in the beginning and maybe even continuing today of the number of people who have died with COVID. So, you know, the government was overstretching the bounds, making this more of a problem than overstating how much of a problem it really was. And the studies also, of course, are showing that, hey, you know, a large percentage, like 80% plus, or people who are 65 and older and have other conditions going on. And so it's more of a disease of the elderly, which we knew from early on, but we continue to vaccinate children, for example, and vaccinate young people, people younger, you know, than 50 or whatever, and saying, oh, that's the only way that we can get out of this vicious cycle. And in fact, you know, the studies that we've referred to before saying that, gee, if you get COVID, then your immunity is far greater than any vaccine is going to provide you, at least these vaccines. And so you've got greater protection once you've had it. I mean, the good thing is that Omicron seems to be going around. We know, of course, we've had it. You've had it. Mm-hmm. And many people have had it. And so now we're getting to the phase where, okay, maybe we will have innate natural immunity because we've already had COVID. And that will be our protection going forward rather than relying on these vaccines, which, of course, they understate the adverse events from the vaccines.
Do you think that's a result of bureaucratic bungling, or is it intentional?
I think it's intentional. Hmm. Personally, I think it's intentional, and it is to keep the public in the dark as to the serious nature of these vaccines and their adverse events. If the truth ever came out with regard to the adverse events, these vaccines would not be approved. However, I saw today that the FDA has approved Moderna and vaccine. So, you know, this whole business of keeping these vaccines under the emergency use authorization and absolving the pharmaceutical companies from any liability whatsoever from these vaccines is a crime in and of itself. And trying to get these things quickly approved without the usual committees, for example, they've done away with any of these committees that independent committees that would review the such things as the adverse events and the effectiveness of the drug. This is normal practice for the FDA. They've now done away with them. Because the experts were telling them, hey, we got serious problems here. No, we shouldn't be giving these to children. And they went ahead and did it anyway. So you got to ask the question, why, other than we know, for example, and what's the deal with ivermectin? I mean, ivermectin has now been shown to be effective around the world, and this new study, for example, coming from Japan, from the Kawa company, who did a phase 3 trial in conjunction with the Kitasato University in Tokyo, they did a phase 3. They were already in the phase 3 trials, which is the phase 3 is your last clinical trial before you get a drug approved. And so it's a massive trial, and it studies both the safety and efficacy, and they found that ivermectin under a a controlled clinical trial, this is what everybody's been waiting for, is indeed effective, and they want to license it for not only for COVID. They found that it wasn't only effective against the Alpha, the Delta, and the Omega, but that it's effective against any coronavirus. And should be used then as an antiviral agent for the common cold, for example, which the common cold is a coronavirus. So, these folks are pushing the envelope, and they say the effectiveness is not only preventing the replication of the virus, but it's preventing the virus from getting into the cells in the first place. So highly effective drug that they're finding, And, of course, you have those that are saying, oh, you know, this drug is very, very dangerous. It is a drug that's been around for 30 years. It has been millions upon millions of people have used the drug. It is probably one of the safest drugs on the planet. Yet you have these naysayers that saying, "Oh, we can't approve this dangerous drug." It's not dangerous at all if they're giving it to millions and millions of people, and it has a far greater safety profile than the new antiviral drugs that are coming out, for example, from Merck to fight COVID.
This has all the earmarks of conspiracy. I hate to say that, but It's being done for a reason. There's a statement in this article from the Epoch Times about that ivermectin study, and it's already common knowledge that the government has avoided talk of therapeutics. Pretty much, well, Trump brought it up briefly. He was roundly criticized for that. In fact, almost hounded out of office because of his statements on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and some of the other therapeutics that have proved effective in the meantime. But here's a statement from that Epoch Times article. The federal government pays hospitals across the country to treat COVID-19 patients, but the payment is tied to approved methods. And ivermectin is not part of the protocol. There are lots of places around where you would ask for ivermectin, and they would say, no way, Jose.
Yeah, exactly.
It was for money.
You can't get it. Here's what, the U.S. hospitals are paid for COVID testing of all patients. So every patient that comes into a hospital now is tested for COVID, and the hospital gets a payment for that. They're tested for a COVID diagnosis. So if you if you happen to have a positive COVID diagnosis, the hospital gets an extra boost in their payments. Now, remember, all of this time, the hospitals were using the PCR method, which overestimated the actual infection rate from COVID in the first place.
Now, describe the PCR method. What test is that? That's that shorter stick? The quick test, like the home test?
No. It's you're actually looking for pieces of the virus.
Okay.
So it's a it's really an RNA DNA type of test where you're looking for specific sequences on either the RNA or the DNA of the virus. So you're actually trying to identify the virus.
But as a patient, PCR, how would you know that you're getting that test? As the patient,
would just have to ask. I mean, it was in quote the standard test, although the PCR method was never validated as a medical test. It was used in the laboratory to help identify, DNA or RNA pieces. And it was never validated for use as an analytical tool to identify whether you have this virus or that virus or whatever. And so the CDC finally came out and said, oh, okay, this test should never have been used. But we knew that from the very beginning, from those who are the scientists who were quieted or who were, blocked from saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't a valid test. And so now we have, and the problem with the PCR test, for example, is it could have been a valid test had they done the validation of it, but they... Each cycle, this is a cyclic type of test. So you run one cycle, and then every time you run a cycle, you amplify whatever it is that you're looking for. So it's a polymerase chain reaction. That's what PCR stands for. So you're essentially multiplying or making new copies of virus particles, in this case, or DNA and RNA.
But this is initiated by a nasal swab, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But don't get that confused with the antigen test, which is an antibody type of test. Oh, it's not. Oh. It's testing the antigen, parts of the virus using.
So the difference. The difference is how they use the swab.
Yes. Okay. What type of test they do?
Gotcha.
At any rate, the PCR test, they use too many cycles. Basically, if you go up to 45 or however many 47 cycles that they were doing, you can pick up anything, and even the common cold would turn up positive.
In other words, it exaggerates.
It became less and less specific the more cycles you ran.
It exaggerates what you want to find, makes it more likely that you'll find it.
Yeah, it makes it more likely that you'll find it.
It doesn't even sound scientific.
It, no. They should have stopped the cycles at 17. Maybe they could have validated it then, but they were running it. So anybody who came into the hospital had a positive test. Oh, I get payments for that. Oh, that's a good thing. So you got the hospital got payments for that. The hospital got payments for admitting a COVID patient. So if you were actually admitted in the hospital, you got another. The hospital got another payment. The hospital gets payments for using remdesivir. This is the drug that was used to try to cure Ebola in Africa, and it killed half of the patients. Well, those same adverse events or adverse reactions are still with the remdesivir. It hasn't become any safer, and you can die just by taking remdesivir.
And it would be racked up as a COVID death.
And it would be racked up as a COVID death, exactly. But the hospital was paid to use remdesivir, all right? And the hospital is paid to use mechanical ventilation, and mechanical ventilation has been shown to kill, a person who gets on mechanical ventilation, the chances of their surviving is 15 to 20% at best.
My goodness. It's no wonder that doctors are beginning to speak up about this, because in the whole chain here, they rank just above patients in terms of being ignored. Doctors must feel totally antagonized by this whole procedure.
Well, those that want to actually treat their patients, they can't treat the patients with, drugs that they would normally use, for example, like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. If a hospital finds out, for example, that they're using those type of things, most hospitals are kicking the doctors out of the system and kicking them out of a job. And so even if you – and the other thing with this, loved ones, for example, are now smuggling – ivermectin into their sick relatives in the hospital and treating and giving them ivermectin. So it's, that's the, you don't want people, doing that necessarily, but you want the hospital to be doing the right thing, which is doing everything that they can in order to assure success in treating, patients.
Which is medicine as opposed to politics.
Exactly, which is medicine as opposed to politics or some agenda that is being driven by who knows, what, but it's not for the health of the patient.
I see another note here that the states are beginning to rebel because they know the situation, too. A bill has been presented to make New Hampshire the first state in the country to make ivermectin part of the approved COVID-19 treatments and, listen to this, offer it as an over-the-counter medication. That's how safe it is.
Wow. Yes. Well, guess what? They're going to be slapped down because the FDA has jurisdiction over them.
Yeah.
So if the FDA is now corrupted, if the CDC is corrupted, if the NIH is corrupted, if our politicians are corrupted, and the whole medical community at the upper ends are corrupted, the state may vote and say, yes, we want to do this. And because, gee whiz, there's a whole bunch of studies, they're going to be slapped down by the FDA and say, oh, no, no, that's not your jurisdiction. The safety of drugs is the FDA's prerogative. And so we have the final say on safety. So we are creating a monster here. We have created a monster because the FDA is now infiltrated with pharmaceutical companies. Personnel, and they have swapped personnel between the pharmaceutical companies and the FDA, and the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies, and now we have a corrupt organization that is approving only big bill pharmaceuticals and not allowing these generic drugs to be used off-label.
Ivermectin is cheap. Is it not? By
comparison, it's cheap.
Yeah,
it's one of the safest drugs, and it's one of the cheapest drugs, that you can get. And of course, there's no money in it for the pharmaceutical companies, and so it's. We are headed for major regulatory issues here. That who knows how all of this is going to be sorted out, but
one concern that comes to mind.
I applaud what was the state that said that?
New Hampshire.
Applaud the representative who is introducing that bill in an effort to do the best for their people. This type of thing is like a state's rights versus the federal government's rights.
Yeah, who gave the FDA the power to make law?
Well, we gave them the power to approve drugs.
What does approve mean? Recommend?
It means that you can use it for a certain condition.
If you receive government funds, or if you have federal employees, or under what conditions does that have the weight of law? David, you might know more about that. That might be a constitutional issue.
I don't know, but they, there's probably regulations that were written when the FDA came into existence because at one point it was like, okay, we've got snake oil. People are pushing snake oil that has no beneficial effect.
This kind of corruption is going to encourage black market medicine, which has its own problems for corruption and illicit drugs, and that's been a problem around the world. But if the powers that be put out lies and support the pharmaceutical industry for money, sooner or later the backlash is black market medicine.
Well, that is true. You can still, a doctor, it depends on the state, but a doctor can prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and you can go to your pharmacy if they will dispense it and pick up those drugs. But you've got to find the right doctor, as we've mentioned before, and you got to find the right pharmacy, and all this has to work together, and that's the way medicine has been practiced in this country for eons, except recently when we've had this government overtake of medicine, which is not beneficial to the end person, which is the person who is ill and sick. We need to fix this system because the system is broken from the top, from the top down, and they have pushed this through the hospitals by offering these payments. The hospital is trying to survive, and so they're saying that every patient that comes into the hospital has COVID so they can get a payment. And so the system is corrupted by money.
The Carol just found out that her recent cancer operation cost $40,000. $40,000. Wow. It was an outpatient. She went home the same day. $40,000 is what they put it on the books as, and I think insurance paid something like maybe $600, maybe $800. I mean, how high do you have? And if you just look at the comparison of those numbers, and say how high do you have to inflate the price of something, because you're only going to get 4%. From Medicare.
Well, the medical billing is as corrupt as it gets. Yes.
I mean, you know about medical billing. You've seen the numbers.
Yeah.
And I just put an article in the chat window from it was in the Epoch Times last week, and this week the New York Post has picked it up. Mm-hmm. But it's an article by Victor Davis Hanson, and it's an editorial, and you know he suggests. And it almost comes right out and says it, but from the moment that it began, the pandemic was political. Mm. It began that way, and that was the only reason for it to be as large and expansive as it was. I mean, the only reason for it was to get rid of Trump, I think maybe even Neil Young thinks that. And Joni Mitchell would probably go along with him.
Yeah.
It's just like, what gives people the notion that they can tell other people what to say and think?
That's this New York Post article, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You put that in the Skype window. I'm going to put it in the chat window at the Broken Road Radio. People would like follow up on that. So that'll appear right now.
And it's an outstanding article, but the notion that we still really don't know where it came from, that we still don't have somebody that admits, you got me.
Hmm.
Well, China's not going to admit it, and Fauci's not going to admit it because he was involved with the development, and so you have the NIH not admitting it, and the CDC not admitting it, but there's enough information out there to show that indeed it was a leak from the Wuhan lab in China, which the U.S. helped pay for, and helped pay for the research to develop the gain of function of the coronavirus from bats. So, the information is out there. It's obviously not in the mainstream media, and the government's going to suppress it as much as it can because, oh my gosh, our federal government, is responsible for this coronavirus bat virus being, out in the population and turning into a pandemic. Yes, absolutely, that is the case. So,
yep, we're saying it out loud.
Yeah. Yep.
The emperor has no clothes, yep. Exactly.
I should have mentioned Don is a biochemist. I think maybe I did, but you should know that he's got some experience with pharmaceuticals, and what you just heard is, I hate to say, straight from the horse's mouth. It's credible. He's also a member of the board of Creation Moments. I want to mention their website to you, creationmoments.com. And that's where we usually gain a whole lot of information on the biblical story of creation. If you're interested in that, that's scientific information that supports and explains and expands on that story. I want to pay them a visit, creationmoments.com. Don, again, we're thankful. I know we've talked about COVID a lot, but stories keep popping and the situation keeps morphing. And I'm hoping there will be a strong reaction that certain careers will crumble and certain bureaucracies will crumble along with them. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but that's what makes me feel good in this whole thing, you know? There's got to be a reaction to this of some kind. So
just saw a headline for a story that Ben Carson has said he feels sorry for Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah, Ben Carson is a very kind man. So.
Because the chickens are coming home.
Don, we'll see you next week.
All righty. Very good.
Take care.
Y'all have a great week.
See you, Don.